Good morning. John Munson in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, it's no secret that voter turnout has been less than enthusiastic in recent election cycles, particularly the midterms and in local elections. A new campaign led by Generation Citizen is advocating for lowering the voting age to 16 as one way of reinvigorating American democracy. This is something that's been tried elsewhere. There are several municipalities in the United States that have tried this already. We're going to talk about the merits of lowering the voting age to 16 in the United States and find out what you think about it as well. My guest is Scott Warren, the co-founder and executive director of Generation Citizen. He was named one of Forbes' top 30 social entrepreneurs under 30. Good morning, Scott Warren, and welcome to the Joy Cardine Show.
Thanks for having me. Excited to talk about this.
Okay, so your main goal is to, as you say, reinvigorate American democracy and improve our civic engagement. So why attack this goal by lowering the voting age? I mean, why not work on something like redistricting or a reform or making election days a national holiday, something like that? Why organize civic engagement around lowering the voting age?
Sure. It's a great question. I should say to start that Generation Citizen as an organization is all about empowering young people to be active citizens. So we really are about getting young people to be political, to get young people to recognize their voice. And the primary thing we actually do is to get civics education back into schools and get it to be action-oriented and relevant. What we kept on realizing was that schools didn't care about teaching civics. It wasn't seen as a need to have. It was seen as a nice to have, just because of all the other restraints they have. And so we started looking into, well, what are more creative things that we could do to really promote youth citizenship, and thought that lowering the voting age is something that could make sense. So all the other ideas that you put out there, I think, are valid. But for our goal of really stimulating the debate in this country about the importance of young people engaging in politics, we think that lowering the voting age is something that should be looked at. And as you pointed out, this isn't a new idea. This is something that a few cities in this country are doing, and that countries around the world are doing. And so we think that it's something that could have merit in this country.
So talk a little bit about your own background in terms of what led you to get involved in this. You served in 2002. You were an observer in elections in Kenya. What was it you saw there, and how did it inspire you to form Generation Citizen?
Sure. So my father was a Foreign Service officer in the State Department. So I grew up, I'm originally from California, but grew up all around the world. So I was in Kenya during those elections. I was in Ecuador during a coup in 2005. I was in Zimbabwe during runoff elections in 2008. What I saw in all these countries was just an undying spirit for democracy. You had people that, in many cases, had never casted a vote before. In those elections in Kenya in 2002, I remember standing outside a rural polling booth at 5 in the morning with lines hundreds of people long. And to a certain extent, coming back to the U.S., I realized that we're not as excited about democracy or politics as we used to be. Now, our democracy is older, so in some cases that makes sense. But I think if you just look at the 2016 election, there's just a lot of frustration at the process, at politics itself. And that carries through to our political participation. Of 173 recognized democracies in the world, the U.S. ranks 139th. It's a problem. And so I think for me, seeing how excited everybody else was, and I think there's a lot that we have to learn from the rest of the world as it pertains to democracy. We really want to figure out how can we bring that same excitement back to politics in the U.S. so it's not this malaise, it's not this drag, but it's something that people are actually really enthusiastic about participating in and changing the country together.
I guess some people might say, though, that the 18 and 19-year-olds, for example, aren't voting now. What would lead us to believe that if we lower the voting age to 16, that there'll be increased participation?
So that's a great question. And one of the things that we realized, we actually put out a paper recently as we launched this campaign, and when the voting age was lowered to 18 in 1971, there's actually been a general lowering of participation since then. And there's an argument to be made that 18 just isn't a great age to start voting. Young people are either going to college, they're going into the workforce, they're not thinking about voting when they turn 18. And so our argument to the notion that, well, 18 and 19 year olds aren't voting, so why would we lower it, is that we're not 18 is not an age in which young people are going to start voting, and it's a habit that forms for them the first time you either do or don't step into the voting booth. So our argument is if you lower the voting age, you're actually going to increase youth participation, and this is something that we've seen in other countries. So I think, you know, despite the fact that young people aren't voting, if we lower it, we might get broader participation across the board.
I turned 18 in 1971, so I have a pretty vivid memory of the passage of the 26th Amendment. And at that time, part of the reasoning was, well, we can be drafted and go to Vietnam and die. Sure. Why can't we vote? 16-year-olds can get driver's licenses, and they can be tried in adult court for certain crimes. So I suppose you could make the argument, well, why can't they vote?
Yeah, I think we don't have a national age in this country. Some countries do, and we don't. So you, as you said, you can drive in 16. In some states, you can be tried at 16. You drink at 21. Right now you vote at 18. You're emancipated at 18. So essentially, what we do in this country is whatever age makes most sense for that discrete topic. That's what we do. So I think some people get into the slippery slope argument of, well, would this mean that the draft age is lower to 16? No. We're just saying that it makes most sense to vote at 16, just like it makes most sense to drive at 16. So we're not making any other arguments.
Well, why not make it 12 or 10? Or one Facebook commenter this morning already said, why not make it 5?
Sure. So I think we've actually done, there's research that's been done that shows that 16-year-olds have the same ability for political acumen and political knowledge as 20 or 21-year-olds. So there is studies out there that have shown that 16-year-olds can make these rational decisions, the same as others. I think the other thing that people, you know, the most common thing that people say is that's ridiculous. You know, I know 16-year-olds. There's no way that they can make decisions on this. They don't have political knowledge. So one thing I would say is that we really do want to pair this with bringing civics back and having an effective civics education. We think that if we just gave the right to vote to 16-year-olds and we didn't actually train them to participate, we didn't actually give them a civics education, this wouldn't matter. But if we pair this with bringing civics back into our schools and getting young people to actually care about politics, it's something that could be really powerful.
Here's the number to call to join the program this morning. We're talking about lowering the voting age to 16, 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. That's a toll-free number. You can also reach us via email. The address is talk@wpr.org. And the Joy Cardine Show is on Facebook. Please go there and leave a comment or question for my guest this morning, Scott Warren, co-founder and executive director of Generation Citizen. We're talking about lowering the voting age to 16. Now, just a little bit on the technical aspect of this. To lower the voting age for federal elections, we'd need a constitutional amendment. So you're taking a different tack, looking at local, starting at the ground up?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a really important point. We're not advocating at this point that the national voting age should be lowered to 16. I think that would be a little drastic. It happened in 1971, you're right, as an approach to the draft. So what we've done is we've actually done a comprehensive analysis of every state in the country and figured out which states can you lower the voting age in cities and states with charters and amendments, which states would need constitutional amendments, which states would need state laws. And so we want to go through and really make this a city and state issue. The two cities in the country that now can vote at 16 are both in Maryland, Tacoma Park and Hyattsville. And what's important here is that they're just voting in local elections. They're voting for mayor, they're voting for city council, they're voting for school board. And we think that that's the best approach for now. So we've identified about a dozen states where cities can lower the voting age, usually through charter amendments. Interestingly, Wisconsin is one of those states where this can happen. And there's active campaigns going on in several of these cities. So San Francisco has an active campaign to lower the voting age to 16 that should be voted on in the 2016 elections. Washington, D.C. Had a bill recently introduced, and that's moving forth. There's a Colorado is looking into it. New Jersey, there are cities that are looking into it. But it is really important that we're thinking about this from a bottom-up approach, really starting in cities.
800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. That's the number to call to join the Joy Cardine Show this morning. We're talking about lowering the voting age to 16. 16-year-olds pay taxes. Some of them are saying no taxation without representation. If they can pay taxes, why shouldn't they be able to vote? They can legally hold jobs. They can get driver's licenses. In some cases, they can be tried in adult court. So shouldn't they have the right to have a say in how all of those rules are created and so forth? That's one of the things we're talking about this hour. Wondering what you think. Let us know. Do you have reservations about this? Do you think there's a big upside? Is this something you're enthusiastic about? Give us a call. We're going to take a quick break and check the news, and then we'll be back with Scott Warren. John Munson in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network. What's the right age to be able to vote? We lowered the voting age to 18 back in 1971. Somehow that doesn't seem like so long ago. A new proposal suggests we might want to move that voting age even lower, all the way down to 16 for some elections. And we're talking about that this hour with Scott Warren, co-founder and executive director of Generation Citizen. And with you at 800-642-1234, we have a full phone bank, and that's always a good thing. Let's take some calls. We'll start in Columbus. Chris is with us. Chris, good morning.
Good morning. Yes, I have to say this is an absolutely ridiculous idea. We raised the drinking age to 21 since then because we deliberately decided that people are not mature, and not only that, but our culture has raised adolescents into the late 20s and early 30s, and I see my young folks at work that are not mature enough to make adult decisions, and we continue to encourage that behavior by allowing people to get away with adolescent-like activity into their late 20s and early 30s.
Okay, Chris, thanks for the call. Scott Warren, Chris thinks maybe we ought to raise the voting age, not lower it.
Yeah, I think, again, the most common criticism we get is that, and I'm sympathetic to it, that you know, how can we lower it to 16? You know, adults are immature in their own right. I think one of the arguments in favor of this is just you look at all the different countries around the world that do this and do it well. You just had the referendum in Scotland where 16- and 17-year-olds voted on whether Scotland should break off from the United Kingdom, and voted at the same rate and at the same as their parents. But you have countries like Argentina, Brazil, Germany, 16 has for several states, Hungary. There's countries around the world that are doing this and making it work. And I think it's just something, as I talked about, people aren't participating in our democracy, and we need innovative solutions. And so I don't think it's all right just to say, well, 16-year-olds are too immature to vote. If this is something that could catalyze excitement and political participation, it's something that we need to talk about.
Thanks for that call, Chris. And let's go next to Barbara in Iron River. Barbara, good morning.
Good morning. I would like to say that I believe the younger population would be easily influenced by propaganda and more partisan politics, and I think that's a bad idea. I'm a high school English teacher, and I see every day the opinions that they have are not fully formed yet or fully informed, and I would be very cautious to change the voting age.
Barbara, thanks. Thanks for that thought, Scott. Young people more influenced by propaganda than adults.
Well, I think that's a good and valid concern. I would say that it seems like a lot of voters and adults are heavily influenced. That's why political ads are so prevalent, especially right now. So I don't think they would be any more persuadable than adults. And I think to the other end, we have a population overall that isn't very politically informed right now. You know, a third of voters can't name all three branches of government. A third of voters can't name any at all. And so what we're hoping is that
through actually lowering the voting age, we could actually inform and educate voters writ large to actually care about these issues. But I think especially as we enter into election season, you see the prevalence of these 30-second ads. These 30-second ads aren't being targeted towards 16- and 17-year-olds right now. They're being targeted towards adults. So I think that the whole populace is probably persuadable by this type of propaganda right now.
Barbara, thanks for the call. We have a comment from Ron on Facebook. I think he's speaking to your point, Scott Warren. Ron writes, considering the current frontrunner for the GOP is a former television show host, I'm not sure they have any right to question the political competency of a 16-year-old.
Yeah, I'm not going to comment on you know, one thing that we should you know, be very careful of. This is a completely nonpartisan effort, and I think that's you know, something else that I think is important here is that young people are on the whole more independent than Democrat or Republican. But yes, I think I agree with that point to the extent that you know, you see a lot of voters overall that aren't that engaged or are informed, and this is a way to make sure that the whole populace, if we start with 16 and 17-year-olds, we get them early, we get them educated, we get them engaged, and when they become adults, they become informed and excited and participatory.
Mm-hmm. 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. You can reach the Joy Cardine Show that way. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine today. My guest, Scott Warren, co-founder and executive director of Generation Citizen. We're talking about the merits of lowering the voting age for some elections, not at the federal level, but local municipal elections and some state elections, to 16. Wondering what you think about that. 800-642-1234. Talk at WPR.org. Or you can do as so many people are doing this morning. You can leave your comment on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let's take another call. We'll go to Laura in Milwaukee next. Laura, good morning.
Hi. If on one hand we hold some teenagers younger than 16 responsible for their crimes and sentence them to basically life sentences for their crimes,
okay.
Why can't we allow 16-year-olds to vote?
Okay. Laura, thanks for that. Scott, this is a point you made earlier. Some 16-year-olds can be tried in adult court for some offenses. That's one reason why we might want to extend the voting right to them. They have to get a driver's license. They can hold a job. They can pay taxes. All of those things.
Yeah, I think in terms of the being tried as criminals, this differs from state to state. You have some states that are trying to raise the age. I think the important point here is that we want to do things in this country that make sense at the age that we require young people to do them. And for us, we think 16 for voting makes sense. But I think paying taxes, holding jobs, especially as it pertains to school boards, I think having 16-year-olds be able to vote on school boards is something that we think is important as well.
What's the reaction been to your proposal so far? I mean, are you seeing support? Looking at the slugs on our various calls here, a lot of our listeners don't think this is a great idea. What kind of resistance are you seeing to this, and where is it coming from?
Yeah, so to be perfectly honest, and that's why it's great doing shows like this, I think the first reaction that everybody has is this is ridiculous. Young people aren't voting. Young people aren't mature enough to vote. You have a 5-minute conversation with them. You talk about how what our main goal is to really inspire political participation overall. And people start recognizing that this has some legs and this has some merit. But it does take having that initial conversation. So there has been, you know, a lot of pushback. You know, we had some media attention, and I've actually talked on some conservative radio shows. And through having conversations, they realized that the idea could have some merit too. So I think part of the important aspect of this campaign is just let's have this conversation. What age might make sense in this country to first have young people vote? So there has been some pushback, but I think we're heartened by the fact that a lot of times conversation leads to people recognizing that this could be a good idea. The other thing is you know, I'm older than 16, 17 at this point, but this campaign really is being led by 16 to 17-year-olds. You look at a place like San Francisco has a youth commission that's officially part of the mayor's office that's full of 16 and 17-year-olds that are really pushing this out there. And it looks like, as I said, there's going to be an amendment that's going to be voted on in the 2016 election. So then we'll be able to actually see what kind of popular support does this have amongst a general voting population.
What about one of the criticisms, and Scott, you made a point earlier about the fact that this organization is completely nonpartisan, but one of the arguments that's being made is that this is a power grab by Democrats. The assumption is that the 16-year-olds will be more left-leaning, and this is just a power grab by Democrats.
So I think that doesn't respond to the actual facts. So Pew recently did a study that was completed in October of 2014. So this was millennials, 18 to 29-year-olds. 33% Democrats, 22% affiliated themselves as Republican, 42% as independent. A similar poll showed 27% Democrats, 17% Republican, 50% independent. So what you're seeing is that young people identify themselves as independent more than anything else. This is much less left-leaning than earlier generations. So I think the facts show that we're really not trying to get more Democrats out there. We're just trying to get more people to participate, period. Mm-hmm. The 2014 midterm elections had the lowest participation rate in history that we've ever recorded, especially amongst young people, but of the overall population. So we need to be thinking about why is this the case and how can we improve it? And I just don't hear enough conversation about this from politicians, from the media, from citizens themselves, that it's such a problem that people aren't participating. And so I think we need to actually have this conversation. And so if this, argument, lowering the voting age, is just a way to influence the conversation of why people aren't participating, then, that's success for us in its own right.
Let's take another call. We'll go to New London, and Steve is there. Steve, good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
I was just listening to your program here a little while, and I don't think that's a good idea, lowering the voting age. What I'm thinking is going to happen is you're going to have parents in the house that are going to influence their children to vote one way or another or strong-arm them with the car that they're getting. 16-year-olds have a lot of other things on their mind than voting. I think if they want to put their energy somewhere, they should get the 18 to 20-year-olds voting instead of trying to go down in age. Just my opinion, but I don't think it's a good idea.
All right, Steve, thanks for sharing that with us. Scott Warren, these 16-year-olds will be pressured by their parents. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's another it's another good point. And studies in other countries have shown that it just doesn't bear out. So in Scotland, they looked at the referendum. Are the 16 and 17-year-olds voting the same way as their parents? And that didn't show up. They had their own beliefs and they voted for their own beliefs. And if you remember when you were 16, a lot of 16-year-olds want to rebel against their parents. And so I think it could turn the other way too. But I think, in many cases, we're just not giving these young people credit. Our organization works with young people every day and sees the power of their ideas and their hunger to really get involved and get dirty on these issues that affect them every day. And so I think we're not giving them enough credit. And again, to the other point, to put our energy to get 18 and 19 and 20-year-olds more engaged, we should do that. We should be getting everybody more engaged. But I think 18-year-olds have more on their mind than 16 and 17-year-olds because they're either in college or on their own or in the workforce. And the ability to get this voting as a habit when young people are still in the home, I think, is something that has a lot of merit.
Here's a comment from Jill on Facebook. Jill writes, there is a bigger problem out there than this. Shouldn't we make voting easier first, and then we can talk about lowering the voting age? So, Scott, does inviting younger voters address any of these other issues that people see with our electoral system, like barriers to voting or, in some cases, potential voter fraud?
Well, I think that there's a lot of things that have to be done at the same time to improve our democracy to increase voter participation writ large. So I think that's a good point. We're not arguing that this is more or less important than any of the other potential reforms out there. So I think if this could be paired with things like automatic voter registration, which I think has a lot of merit, early voting, which has a lot of merit, changing the voting day from Tuesday. I think it's strange that voting day is still on Tuesday. You mentioned that earlier. That's all fine, too. So let's have that conversation, this conversation on all the different ways that we're not encouraging voting and political participation in this country is a problem. And I'm not going to make a value judgment on which is more important than others, but this is the tact that we're taking right now, especially as it pertains to young people.
Here's a comment from Brandy on Facebook, and Scott, I think Brandy is supporting the point that you made earlier, that once you have a real conversation with people, they think about this in a different way. Brandy writes, "I brushed this off quickly as a no, but then I thought about it. These may end up being the best informed voters of anyone. Civics is fresh in their heads, for example, and if they do research assignments on the candidates, well, that's more than a lot of adult voters do. Finally, it is also their future our elected officials are affecting. Shouldn't they have a say as well?"
Yeah, I think that's great, and that's why doing these programs is so great. If you think about the average voter right now that has, you know, a job or two and is trying to support their family, and they don't want to think about politics. They come home at the end of the day and they might turn on the local news, but they're not going to have time to actually research the candidates and research the issues. Whereas young people are in school. And this type of learning about the government, learning about the Constitution, learning about the candidates, is something that should be happening. It's something, civics should be a fundamental part of education. Civics and learning about democracy is the reason that public schools were created in the first place. So if we can pair this and make sure that 16 and 17-year-olds are learning about government, having conversations about the election, having conversations about the candidates in nonpartisan ways, I think the commenter is extremely right in that this could be a way that 16 and 17 year olds become the most informed voters, and that habit, that behavior would carry through the rest of their lives as well.
Let's take a quick call from Bob in Richland Center before we go to the news. Bob, go ahead.
Thank you. That was going to be my comment. Maybe we could allow the students in high school to take political science classes and then qualify themselves to vote. If one of the complaints is that one-third of the people don't know the three branches of government, that would be one solution. They could understand their government a whole lot better. Now, that wouldn't mean maybe every 16- or 17-year-old, whatever age you decide on, but certainly we could maybe qualify them in that way. I think that's a valid possibility.
Bob, thanks so much for that call. Scott Warren?
I don't know. It's an interesting idea. I don't know if I'd believe in a test, but what I would say is that, you know, as I said earlier, this needs to be paired with effective civics education. If you think about driving in this country, so you mentioned the driving age of 16. So in most states, when kids turn 16, they can drive, but they don't wake up at 16 and get their driver's license. They have to, the year before, get a permit, take lessons, take a test. But with voting, it's almost like we expect them to wake up at 18 and just know how to vote. We're not teaching civics in schools. We're not making this a priority. And so what I do believe in is that we need some sort of driver's education course for our democracy. We need to make sure that young people are actually learning, so when they turn voting age, whether that's 16, 17, or 18, they're prepared and they're excited. And that's not happening right now. So what I do really believe in is that we need to figure out ways to ensure that young people are learning how to participate in the process and getting that driver's education course for our democracy.
We're talking with Scott Warren, co-founder and executive director of Generation Citizen. It's an organization that's working nationally to lower the voting age in local and state elections to 16 years of age. And we're getting a lot of great reactions from you this morning, and you can still participate in the show by phone at 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. The email address is talk@wpr.org, and you can also find the Joy Cardine Show on Facebook and Twitter. What do you think? Is this a good idea, a bad idea? We'll continue our discussion in just a moment. We're going to take a break and catch some news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio News, and then we'll be back with more of our discussion with Scott Warren. I'm John Munson, in for Joy Cardine today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Stay tuned. John Munson in for Joy Cardine today on the Ideas Network. This hour, we're talking with Scott Warren, the co-founder and executive director of Generation Citizen, about a proposal to lower the voting age to 16. And we're getting lots of responses on this issue, Scott, and we have more callers who want to join us. Let's go back to the phones and hear from Kathleen in Green Bay. Kathleen, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello. I just wanted to make the comment that, number one, I am for lowering the age to vote, but exactly what you said, to have that education piece there, and that has to go through curriculum development. But the second thing I wanted to say is, it's interesting, I'm a special registration deputy that can register people to vote. We have an independent group in Green Bay, and we have fanned out to all of the high schools in the Brown County area, and we have and are scheduling dates to go into the high schools to be able to have the 18-year-olds to be able to vote. Now, obviously, we're going to have to do that now in February, and then we're also going to do it towards November. So as far as things that are going on, we can't just go into classrooms because they have United States history in their junior year, all students in our area. I believe that's a law in Wisconsin. So the logistics of registering kids at school or having that education piece, depending on what their age is, becomes a real logistical nightmare. So, yes, I'm for it. We are doing some things here in Brown County. We have an independent group of women. In fact, we're meeting today, two women or men, and we're going to go over our voter registration procedure, and we're also fanning out to all the libraries. So there are some good things going on around here in northeastern Wisconsin.
Okay, Kathleen, thanks so much for that call. And that actually takes us exactly where I wanted to go after the news break, which is to talk maybe about what some of the practical challenges might be to lowering the voting age to 16. Scott Warren?
Well, first of all, it's great that all of that is going on, and that's the type of activities that that we want. We want to be registering young people while they're still in school. We want to be making it easier to actually register voters overall. So I think that's all really important. As far as the logistics of this, again, the two towns in Maryland, Hyattsville and Tacoma Park, have figured this out quite well. And it's just that they're voting on city issues instead of federal and state issues, and so there's a specific ballot for that. And in many states, there's different ballots anyways for those types of measures. And so I think it's not a huge logistical challenge. At some point, I think the goal is that there's enough cities and states that are looking at this that there's a groundswell of support, and then maybe we have that broader conversation about whether 16 and 17-year-olds should actually vote in national and federal elections. But to start off, I think the city and state ones are the most important ones.
800-642-1234, the number to call to join the program. Still a chance for you if you call immediately. Here's a comment from Gwendolyn on Facebook. I like it. It is increasing our expectations for youth, and our society has expectations that are too low. Educational psychology has always shown higher expectations with youth is helpful for changing youth behavior, especially for local voting. So Gwendolyn thinks this is a great idea.
Great, and I think that expectation point is crucial as well. I think we oftentimes don't believe that 16 and 17-year-olds have the acumen, have the enthusiasm, have the capacity to have their own opinions and to vote. And if you spend some time asking them what they think, one of the things that we realized through our program is we ask young people, what do you care about? What do you want to change? And no one's ever asked them that question. And so the ability, and it just really gets them excited about politics. So again, if you look at the general, frame of mind in this country around politics right now, it's malaise. It's people don't want to participate. And this could be an injection of positive energy and enthusiasm. And getting back to what I saw in those elections in Kenya, that people are excited to come together as individuals to make that collective difference. We really want politics to be positive again, and not the sort of negative vibe that is around everything right now as it pertains to politics. And I think this could be an important way of making that happen.
Let's take another call. This time it'll be Tom in Milwaukee. Tom, good morning. Thanks for being on the program with us today.
Hey, good morning. I'll be real brief. My thought is just simply this. If somebody is old enough to get a work permit, which is, I believe, 16, and they're working at, like, say, McDonald's part-time, and they're taxed on all the money that they make, they should have the right to vote. It goes back to the old saying, no taxation without representation. And I think that's a good argument.
Tom, thanks for that. And Scott, that's an argument that you made earlier.
Yeah, I completely agree. One of the interesting things about the no taxation without representation is, as I said, Washington, D.C., which does have taxation without representation, is looking into a bill to lower the voting age as well. So I think that's a great argument and something I completely agree with.
Tom, thanks so much for that call. One of the things you talked about earlier, and I wanted to bring this up again because I think it goes to the heart of what some people are wondering about. Talk a little bit more about how you think lowering the voting age to 16 will lead to habit-forming behaviors throughout life in terms of civic engagement.
Yeah, I think I think that's one of the most important points to this whole thing. There's a lot of studies that have shown that, you know, this isn't just voting, but if you do something the first time, you're going to continue to do it. If you don't do something the first time, you're going to continue not to do it. Most 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, don't vote in their first elections. That's for a variety of reasons, but you know, they're either in college and they're not thinking about it, they're not in their home state, or they just got a job, or they're not at home. So most 18 and 19-year-olds, and the statistics bear this out, don't vote. And then this becomes a habit. They don't vote in the next election. They don't vote in the election after that. 16 and 17-year-olds are in school. They're at home. We can register them. We can get them excited. We can teach them about civics. We can make sure that they're voting. Tacoma Park and Hyattsville have seen much, much higher rates of participation among 16 and 17-year-olds, over 60% in local elections, whereas the rest of the population votes about 20% in local elections. And so, you know, this is brand new. They've just lowered the voting age in the last 3 to 4 years. But we'll be able to see, is this actually carrying through to future elections? But I think you're going to be able to see that 16, 17-year-olds are excited to participate in ways that other demographics aren't, and that hopefully, just like everything else in life, this becomes a habit.
Will in Merrill will take your call next. Will, good morning. Thanks for being on the program today.
Good morning. Well, I'm kind of thinking here that if we're lowering the age to 16 for something as responsible as voting, perhaps we should also lower the drinking age and lower the age for buying a firearm and lowering the age for being responsible for any contracts you may sign. And it also seems to me that in the past you've had a person on the program who was saying that there's hardly any civics being taught to the children, too. So I kind of wonder where this might be going.
Okay, Will, thanks a lot. So if we're going to lower the voting age, we ought to make people legal for things like drinking and buying firearms and signing contracts.
Yeah, again, to the earlier point, unless we're talking about having a national age for everything, which we're not, I don't think makes sense in this country, it's a slippery slope argument that I think people bring up a lot and say, well, you know, we're going to start drafting young people into the military at 16. We're not talking about that. We're talking about lowering the voting age very specifically in local elections because it makes sense. So, you know, other people might make arguments about the best age to drink. Our drinking age is generally higher than the rest of the world. But that's not what we're about.
Mm-hmm. So what is your organization's strategy moving forward? What do you hope to accomplish 3, 5, 10 years out, and how do you plan to get there?
Yeah, so I think, you know, this year, 2016, we're focused on hopefully 3 to 5 city campaigns. So San Francisco, I said, is one. I think that's going to be big. We do want to make sure that this is nonpartisan. So we've identified those states where cities can more easily change voting laws. That includes states like Oklahoma, New Mexico, Colorado, South Dakota, Illinois, Ohio, Wisconsin, as I said, looking into cities in those states. So if there's anybody listening that wants to start a campaign in Wisconsin, let's talk. And really get a groundswell of support going in cities across the country in the next 3 to 5 years. Hopefully we get a number of cities that lower the voting age, and we can start having bigger conversations about maybe doing this on the state level, and doing this in states that need a constitutional amendment to change it. States like Texas and Arizona and Alabama need state constitutional amendments. So, you know, we expect this to be a gradual process,
so that people get used to the idea. We're not saying, you know, we want presidential candidates to go on the record supporting the constitutional amendment now. We want this to be youth-led, and we want people to recognize that, you know, when San Francisco lowers the voting age or when Kansas City lowers the voting age, you're going to see overall voter participation increase, and you're not going to see you know, terrible outcomes. And so I think if we can have a few proof points, it'll show the rest of the country that this is something that that can be really positive.
So you think older voters will be affected by younger voters being involved?
Well, I think hopefully there's some infectious energy that happens. You know, if you know, you see in Tacoma Park and Hyattsville that 16 and 17 year olds are the highest participating demographic, you might have older people that say, well, you know, if you know, this 16 year old is voting, I should be too, and they want their interests at play too. I mean, it's no secret that, you know, politicians pay a little bit more attention to older people because they vote more. I mean, that's how it should work. You know, I know that you all are talking about gun control. And next, President Obama yesterday said that the biggest obstacle to gun control is people not voting and people not participating, and elected officials realizing there's no political consequences for not taking action. And so if you have younger voters starting to participate, maybe you'll see politicians start to pay attention to those issues, but you also influence participation across the board because people want to make sure that their issues are taken seriously.
Okay, Scott Warren, thanks a lot for an interesting hour. Really appreciate it. Good luck.
Thanks. It was great being on.
Scott Warren is the co-founder and executive director of Generation Citizen, and he was our guest this hour talking about lowering the voting age to 16. Thanks to all our callers. Had some great calls, great Facebook comments this hour. Good energy to start the day. John Munson in for Joy Cardine. Two more hours to go on this program. Hope you'll stick around for that. Thanks to Christy Taylor, who handled on-air production and directed the program, and Scotty Myers for producing this hour on the Ideas Network. Tomorrow, at this time, we're going to talk about loneliness among our seniors and caretakers. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network.